thank your lucky stars that I'm not playing anything this morning from Sergeant Pepper. There are some possibilities, you know, with a little help from my friends, or within you, without you. Life flows on within you and without you. Or this one I thought of too, a day in the life. I read the news today, oh boy, about a lucky man who made the grade. And though the news was rather sad, well, I just had to laugh. But I'll spare you all of the Sergeant Pepper references for the rest of this morning. When you think of the Holy Spirit, what do you think of? What's the first thing that comes into your head? There's probably a couple main possibilities. One is the kind of, I'll just call it this, the Benny Hinn slain in the spirit type of thing, where sometimes in services all kinds of things happen that we in our circles just have no experience with or know what to deal with. We just don't know what to do with them. But we could think of manifestations of the Spirit in the sense of supernatural kinds of things. Maybe speaking in tongues. I don't know if any of you have ever had that experience or been in groups where that has happened. You may think along the line of healings, where people really get healed from concrete diseases. Or you may think of other kinds of things like prophecies. I've been in groups of people where there really are words of God that come, that are prophecies or words of wisdom spoken to people. So that's one thing you might think of. Maybe it's a little distant from most of us. One that comes a little closer is the very personal kind of one. And I think this has gotten a lot of emphasis in our churches over the last decade or so. And it's this one. The Holy Spirit comes into my heart and speaks to me and tells me that I'm a child of God, that I'm loved by God, that I am His son or daughter, and gives me a sense of comfort, a sense of self-identity, a sense of that I'm allowed to be here as I am. It's a very internal, personal kind of a thing that happens to you. And I suspect it's probably true that more of you here in this room have had that kind of an experience. Willie actually just referred to it a little bit as this inner kind of a peace and joy that comes in the midst of difficult circumstances. The Holy Spirit is telling me that God is with me, that He loves me, and that it really is going to be okay. And frankly, I want to take both of those seriously. They both are there, and they're both biblical, and they're both true, and they both can happen. And I've been in circles where I believe that both of those kind of things have legitimately happened, and some of them I've experienced. But I want to take a little different focus today, and it will not surprise you that this is an N.T. Wright focus. Sorry, but can't help it. And what N.T. Wright says is this: the Holy Spirit's coming is, among the other things that we've just mentioned, God's space breaking into our space and doing so in a way that, in a certain sense, Jesus can't. Because Jesus has a physical body, and in the limitation of that physical body, He can only be at one place at one time. You never read a story where Jesus was two places at one time. There's lots of miracles that He did, but you never read a story where Jesus was two places at the same time. That can't happen because He's in a literal physical body. And that's why the Spirit is so important, because Jesus has sent the Spirit God's space, God's person, breaking into our space. And then here's the key. Being given so that we, ordinary mortals that we are, can do what Jesus did. Jesus was God breaking into our space, very specifically, very concretely, doing very concrete things. But he isn't here anymore. And he sent his Spirit to move into us and move through us so that we, as his people, can do what Jesus did. You remember that Jesus said one time, I forget the exact reference, you will do greater things than these. And N.T. Wright gives the example, and this is, of course, doesn't fit very well, but it's kind of the best he can do, of imagine that you're standing in a train station, or you're sitting on a train in this train station, and that's in the present. And all of a sudden, on the track next to you, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, the express train comes racing through. The express train is coming from the same place you did in the back. So that's the past coming to meet you. And on the next track over, the train that came from where you're going to is coming at you. So past, present, and future are interacting at that station in the present of today. And that's what the Holy Spirit is like. Past, present, and future. God reaching into our space and doing things. And what I wanted to do this morning is, before we get to our passage, is just briefly go through and look at the scriptures as to how he's doing that. So the text will be projected. Let's start at the very beginning, Genesis 1. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Right from the very beginning, there's the Spirit of God. And what's the next thing that he does? He speaks. Right? Let there be light. And then what happens? Something happens. Something changes. Something moves. There's light. And then a little while later, in Genesis 2, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of light, and the man became a living being. So God takes this form, this lifeless form, this material, this matter, and breathes into it, and it becomes, something happens, it becomes a living being. And then all through the Old Testament, of course, the Spirit isn't quite as actively present in the writings of the Old Testament as he is in the New Testament, but we see him showing up all over the place. We see him in the Psalms. We see him in Israel. We see him even in the art of those who built the early tabernacle, where the Spirit filled the artisans with the skills they needed to build that tabernacle, that temple of God. And all through the Old Testament, moving toward a climax, we see the Holy Spirit there. And then these very famous words from Joel chapter 2, a prophecy. And afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. So there's this looking forward to this time, kind of like the train station, where something very unique and special is going to happen. God is going to meet his world in a very special way. And then, of course, Jesus comes, and Jesus is at the beginning of his ministry as an adult, and he goes to John the Baptist, and then Luke tells us this, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too, and as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." So even on Jesus, the literal incarnate Son of God, the Holy Spirit came in bodily form as a dove, and a voice comes out of heaven, "You are my Son." This inner confirmation, "You are my Son, in whom I am well pleased." And that was the thing that Jesus needed in order to step out into the world and do the ministry that he did for the next 3 years of healing and bringing the kingdom of God. And then after the resurrection, after he had risen from the dead, he talks to his disciples. And Luke tells us about it. He opens their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. You've seen what happened." Again, here's this connection with the past. You've seen what happened. And then the next words are, "I am going to send you," future, "what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So Jesus is transferring his mission, his ministry, his spirit from himself to his disciples and saying, "I'm going to be going and you're going to take over and the future is going to meet you. The past and the future are going to meet you at the station." And then Luke in Acts 1 tells, of course, in the first part of Acts chapter 1 about Jesus and about his speaking with the disciples at the very end of his ministry before he goes up to heaven. And then he says this, and they're similar to what we just read. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And so here you see this ripple effect. From Jesus, Spirit comes down, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus passes that on to his disciples and then says to his disciples right before he leaves, "Now you go." Okay? This is very concrete. This is very down to earth. This is very feet in the mud. This is very tangible. It's about our daily lives. It's about who we are as people. And then we have the disciples waiting, of course, in Acts chapter 1, and then in Acts chapter 2, it starts this way, and the text will be projected, or you can follow along with it in your Bibles. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, 'Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have had too much wine.'" So what does this mean? What does this mean? Doesn't it mean that God is moving down into our world in just a very special, very powerful, very unique way, bringing the past in, bringing the future in, and giving us, as his people, what we need to be his people on his earth? And then the results. So what happens? What happens after the Spirit comes down in Pentecost? What are the immediate results of it? And right away, the book of Acts tells us that. So we just read a little further. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Repent, be baptized, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. And you know this, of course. Repent means to turn, to make a U-turn, turn 180 degrees, start thinking and acting in another way. This world is not alone. We are not hopeless and helpless. We are not going to hell in a handbasket. God has reached in and is changing and is moving and is renewing and is recreating, and he's calling us as individuals to somehow get on board with that and to be renewed in our hearts and renewed in our minds and understand the hope and the peace and the joy that he can give us through his Spirit. That's the individual thing. Repent and believe and receive the Holy Spirit. But then, after 3,000 people are gathered on that day, and the church has suddenly grown from probably 100, 120 to 3,000, they have this community. They have this group of people whose leader, Jesus, was gone, but who were filled with the Holy Spirit. And how did they live? Well, that's the next thing that Acts tells us about. This is how the early community, the early church, the early people of God lived. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So there was the teaching, the fellowship, breaking of bread. We're pretty used to that. There was awe. There was wonder. There were miraculous signs. There was togetherness with everybody, with everything in common. The community gave to everyone as he or she had need. It was daily meeting in the temple courts. It was breaking bread together in the homes, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord was adding daily to their number. The very first example of God's Spirit coming into the world in this way and coming into his community and coming into his people, this is what happened. And things began to move. And things began to change. And things began to happen. And this ripple effect went out. It's kind of like what would happen. If I drop this little pill, and this is very coincidentally called airborne. If I drop this pill into this glass, it's a little on the small side. I hope you in the back can see it. But watch what happens when I drop this pill into this glass. See that? Pardon? I'm sorry, what? Homemade? Yeah, exactly. Homemade lava lamp. Yeah. And it just keeps going until, of course, the tablet's gone. That's what it should look like. This Holy Spirit coming out, God's space, interacting with our space, and then in our world, and it just starts to bubble, and it starts to churn, and it starts to have impact, and it comes in movement. So let me ask you this, we're here with ourselves today. Where do you, in this community, see God's Spirit moving along the lines of what we've just read? And if you're willing to, and if you have courage, and if you have a thought, just go ahead. It can even be one word. Is there anyone who'd like to say, hey, I experienced... Willie started us off, right?
I have another one.
There we go.
Kindness. The Holmans provided transportation for us.
Kindness, right. Something else? Where do you see God's Spirit bubbling among us?
Community together.
Community? Eric would say thank you for those who came to the workday yesterday. He just said to me this morning, we got a lot more done than you thought we would. Right? Wanted to quote you correctly there. Anything else?
Yeah.
Through God's wisdom in leading us? Through God's wisdom in leading us? Yeah. Yeah.
The word of God.
Right. The Word of God as it comes to us through people. Anything else? Yeah?
Courage to try new things, not be afraid. Take up the faith to try new things.
Courage to try new things. You know why those disciples were in the upper room? Because they were scared. And the Spirit dropped in. And all of a sudden, things changed. Exactly. Anything else? Yeah.
God just speaks to us and reassures us through nature and art, and that can
through nature and art that can flow out of us and through us to create, to make just good things. Yeah. Had some people in this building, some people who had never been in the building before on Friday for some business that we were doing, a couple of people, and they walked in. What a wonderful building. What a wonderful building. It's built well, it works, it's efficient, it's beautiful. It's one of the first things they said. That's the spirit, right? Giving us people who can do that and could think about it, who can envision it. Anything else? Faithfulness on the part of so many people. And one of the themes that I've heard since I've been here is that you look back a couple of decades and see that faithfulness, that train coming, that express train coming by and meeting us at the station. We're small. We've never gotten really huge. But you look back over 10, 20, 30 years and you see an impact that this community has had on so many people. Anything else?
Concern?
Concern for people who are in need, absolutely. And you see, these are the everyday things. These are the things that you would hardly notice if you didn't stop to think and to say, okay, the Holy Spirit has dropped, has come, and things are moving, and this is what's happening. Now the harder question. We've just read about the church. We've just read about the community the way it was in Acts. And without wanting to say we should be exactly like them because our situation is different, where could we grow? Where could we experience the Spirit doing different things, do you think? Any ideas? Anybody willing to? We can take it. Yep. How to be a witness, how to be able to reach out to other people. That's what it says, right? The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Could you flip back to the slide before that, Christopher? Thank you. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is what I put down on my list. I would really like to see the Lord adding to our number. I don't know if we could handle daily, but something else? It's a little harder, isn't it? I'll tell you a couple of things I thought of. For me personally and for us, I would like to live with more of a sense of awe. And not so routine. And not so just going through on automatic pilot. And actually, in the last couple of weeks, a couple people have mentioned this to me. I would like to grow in prayer. Personally, for us as a community. That's what that early church was doing. They were praying. And the Spirit was moving. Those would be my things. Prayer, sense of awe at what God is doing, and seeing God bring to us regularly, daily would also be fine, those who are being saved. And I'd love to see much more. I think it's happening, but I'd love to see much, much more for each of us, that the Holy Spirit is witnessing in our hearts and giving us more and more strength and courage to handle the difficulties that we have to face, that He's just there doing it, and that we're recognizing it and speaking it to one another. So how do we move? So how do we grow? Well, number one, I don't know. I think there may be a couple things. One is to pray. Could we in our prayers be more explicit and more concrete about asking the Holy Spirit to move in us as individuals and in us as a community? As you do your own prayers at home, as we pray for ourselves here in our community, that this fire of the Holy Spirit, this wind of the Holy Spirit, would move and bubble us more. Be honest about where we can grow. Be honest about the challenges that we could meet, the challenges that are around us. And then, I think just moving. Just doing something. Making some changes. Continuing to move. Continuing to be in motion, because it's only a ship or a car that's in motion that can be steered. Those are some of the things that I think of. So I just want to encourage us all as this community of Christ here. Number one, the Holy Spirit is among us. He really is. And He's working and He's moving and things are happening. And there's always room to open ourselves up as individuals and as a community to what the Holy Spirit can keep doing and continue to do. And that's what I want to encourage us today as we think about Pentecost and think about the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, do something in us that's new. Help us to be liberated from malaise and from apathy where that is existent among us. Help us as individuals to be more clear about who we are before You, to hear Your voice saying, "I am Your beloved son or daughter." And then help us as a community to pray, to be in awe of what You're doing, and to be able to reach out to the community around us in ways that we have not been able to think of or dream about before. May we experience this bubbling and this life, this lava lamp that is what You intended all through history as You've sent Your Spirit to this earth, recreating, making new, changing, restoring, and working everything together so that this creation, which is now so much in groaning, will one day rejoice at seeing what You have done. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.